Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I walked all over you. All right, switching gears. 98 years ago this winter, February 21st, 1916, the ground in northeastern France began to shake. For the next 10 years, 1,200 German guns showered heavy shells on French positions. The massive bombardment collapsed dugouts, obliterated trenches, and drove men mad.
The Battle of Verdun had begun. It would end 10 brutal months later with huge casualties on both sides. The French lost 160,000 men, the Germans 140,000.
Paul Jankowski, a professor of history at Brandeis University, has written a new history of the iconic battle that epitomized the pointless folly of the First World War. His book is called Verdun, The Longest Battle of the Great War. And Paul Jankowski, welcome to Radio Boston. Great to have you.
Thank you very much.
It's a fascinating read. And I was struck by this, that anyone who has traveled a bit in France and seen those World War I memorials in just about every French village and German villages, for that matter, knows that the Battle of Verdun is known as a great French victory. And yet you teach us that this long, bloody battle began and ended in a virtual stalemate. So did anything change after 10 months of fighting?
Whether it had any decisive strategic impact on the course of the war is, in fact, extremely doubtful. In that sense, it may be like the whole war itself. It started with great hopes on one side. It continued, I think, largely for matters of prestige, went on because nobody was able to stop it, and then ended with a great many dead on both sides and with a very, very questionable outcome as to whether anything positive had ever been achieved. And so in that sense, it was iconic.
Well, let me ask you about the nature of the fighting itself. Huge losses, as we mentioned, 300,000 dead, 600,000 wounded. What was the nature of the warfare that caused such massive numbers of casualties? How was it being fought?
Verdun was an artillery battle. It was the artillery battle to end all artillery battles. In that sense, again, it was perhaps iconic of the war on the Western Front, of the First World War itself. It was also a battle of machine guns and of poison gas. So the wounds at Verdun, and this is a telling indication, I think, are usually shrapnel wounds or bullet wounds. That is to say, wounds incurred from weapons that have been fired from a very, very long distance by men whom the victims couldn't even see. Distant machine guns, very distant artillery. We are not dealing with the close quarter combat of earlier centuries. We're dealing with a highly impersonal war made possible by the firepower of modern industry. Impersonal and leading to a great sense of solitude.
It's so difficult to imagine what must have been ghastly conditions in those trenches. And I'm wondering what you learned about what kept the men in their trenches, kept them fighting for 10 months. Were there reports of mutinies? How did they bear up?
Most of our evidence suggests that their frame of mind was nothing if not morose. They were forced into this by the constraints and by the discipline and by the pressure of a modern army. I think the men on both sides went up to the lines and stayed in the trenches and endured in human conditions because they felt they had to. I think they went to the front lines the way they went to their fields and their factories. To do otherwise would be to fall down in some inner sense of obligation that they might have had to their unit, to their families, to other circles of loyalty.
One French soldier wrote of seeing companies of skeletons commanded by a wounded officer leaning on a stick, all marched or rather moved forwards with tiny steps, zigzagging as if drugged. It seemed as if these speechless faces cried over something appalling, the unbelievable horrors of their martyrdom. That's quite a passage.
Yes, it was the spectacle of the wounded, perhaps even more, the unfamiliar sensation of walking over dead bodies. It gave a squishy, unfamiliar sensation underfoot, which they got used to as time went on. But it was the wounded, but also the dead, the omnipresence of death in what was a kind of necropolis. in a truly infernal setting, made of ravines and dark hillsides and all that the gates of hell might suggest.
Sure. Early in the book, you write, at first there was, strictly speaking, no Battle of Verdun. German and French newspapers offered their readers confused and contradictory explanations of the why and wherefore of the violent events taking place there. At what point did the scope of this awful battle begin to take shape, begin to be understood?
Probably within a matter of a few weeks. Mm-hmm. Nobody quite understood at first that there was a battle going on at all, or if there was, what it was all about. If you read the French and German newspapers, they're having an extremely difficult time deciding just what is going on there and why on earth the Germans have decided to attack the place and whether the French really are so desperate to defend it, and if so, why. There is a considerable confusion, and each side, to read the newspaper accounts, is eager to say that if it matters, it only matters to the other. A few weeks later, the French in particular, start to refer to the Battle of Verdun. And at that point, the French had decided that their prestige is at stake. Once they had the whiff of German failure, they could then decide that this is a true battle for the prestige of France. We might even win this. And at that point, it becomes extremely difficult to get out. And then you have a real battle on your hands, and not just some skirmish which could be called off quietly. There was considerable confusion in the early days about what on earth was going on there, in spite of later legends that the Germans attacked Verdun because it was the gateway to France and the French all rallied to its defense spontaneously. This is legend.
Yes. Why did the Germans attack Verdun? What was their idea?
There's been a great deal of argument and confusion about that, not helped by the fact that the top German general, General Erich von Falkenhayn, gave an account of his own motives after the war, which is highly suspect. He purported after the war to have attacked Verdun not because he wanted to take the place, but because he wanted to provoke the French to defend it, and thereby, he said, to bleed them white. That memorandum has never been found, and it's almost certain that Falkenhayn never wrote it. Most generals begin battles with more ambitious goals than simply trying to bleed the enemy. That myth of bleeding the French white is the myth that stuck, by the way, and it's one on which the French very eagerly seized once it was offered to them, that this had a kind of monstrous dimension to it, which suited them well.
Well, if it became a sort of point of honor for the French to continue fighting and defend in this battle, why did the Germans stick to it for so long? What was their reason?
It would have been extremely difficult to tell the German population, fed a steady diet of hope and of victory for the past 2 years, that a battle that had gone on for, say, a few months had really been pointless and they might as well call it off. And sometimes the longer a battle goes on, the more difficult it is to stop. How do you turn around and tell people all this was not worth it?
Does the Battle of Verdun offer lessons for today, do you think? And if so, what are they?
There are a couple of lessons. The one that jumps out at me is the lack of any clear strategic goal when you embark upon a military adventure. I don't think the Germans really did have a very clear strategic goal in mind. Once you have committed yourself, it is very difficult to get out. Verdun, as the site of a heroic defense, has become now pretty much transformed into Verdun and is the site of a pointless horror which must not happen again.
That's Paul Jankowski. He's a professor of history at Brandeis University. His new book is called Verdun, The Longest Battle of the Great War. Paul Jankowski, thank you so much for coming in today and talking about this.
Thank you very much.
And you can read an excerpt from Paul Jankowski's book on the Battle of Verdun at our website, radioboston.org.
And that's it for today. Radio Boston is a production of WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.